Attention Medicare beneficiaries. Are you getting all the benefits you need? If you have Medicare, you may now be able to get new benefits. Benefits may include eyeglasses, wellness visits, gym membership, meal delivery, and hearing aids with low copay. You may even find plans with zero monthly plan premiums, zero copays on many services, and zero deductibles. Call 800-901-5093. That's 800-901-5093. 800-901-5093.
It's our 26th year on the air, bringing you the latest in consumer technology today and into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for tuning in. We thank you in advance for calling in and participating because you actually make the show. Your questions, your comments, your help for other listeners, your tech rage, whatever the case, is what Into Tomorrow is all about. And you don't have to wait until you hear the show next week to call in, for example, or you don't have to call in right now. You can call in anytime at your leisure. And there's three very cool, very easy ways to join us. The newest by many folks is just visiting our website on anything with a browser and a microphone. So your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, your smartphone, visit intotomorrow.com, click on the Ask Dave little red microphone button on the right side, and participate that way. You can ask a question or what have you. And when you do, we ask only three quick things of you. Don't forget to give us your first name, where you're joining us from, and how you hear the show on your favorite radio station, what podcast or stream, however the case. Or you can use the free Into Tomorrow app available for Android and iPhones, of course. And that's available at your favorite app store. So just visit there, look for those two words, Into Tomorrow, and then hit that message the studio button. Or the old-fashioned way still works. If you have a phone that actually can be used as a phone these days, then you can call 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686. Anytime, all of the above, at your convenience, 24/7. We came across a company that's working to improve drug development by combining insights from patients' personality with machine learning. So it caught our attention. It's certainly about tech, and we as consumers become patients periodically, hopefully not too often. But whatever can be done, I think, to help those kinds of connections has got to be helpful. So the Vice President of Business Development for Tools for Patient is Erica Smith. Erica Smith, thank you for coming on and joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It sounds very unique what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the company Tools, the number four, Patient, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So our founders, 8 years ago when they started the company, recognized one very simple fact, that when clinical trials are run to develop drugs, and maybe let me just put this in context for the audience.
Please.
So as a reminder, any drug that finally reaches patients has to go through clinical testing and clinical trials, and this is done in three phases. And then the data is submitted for regulatory approval. And of course, this process takes several years. It can take 5, 6, 7 years. And it costs, quite frankly, billions of dollars. So anything that goes awry in that clinical development process, and there are many things that can happen, will prevent the drugs from reaching the patients that need them. And that was one of the motivations behind the foundation of Tools for Patients. So our founders recognized one simple fact, that when these clinical trials are conducted, they collect a lot of biological data. They might collect vital signs or blood work or medical images, but they fail to consider the patient as an individual. So we recognize that patients are people, that clinical trial subjects are actually human beings with a full spectrum of personality, psychology, different beliefs and different motivations. So when you think about it, it makes a lot of intuitive sense, but this has not historically been considered in drug development.
Yeah, because I'm assuming, Erica, that a lot of those various aspects can affect the outcome of a drug trial in this example, right?
Absolutely. So consider, a very simple example. You can have one person that's an optimist, that has an optimistic perspective on the world. And maybe they come from a culture with a very strong belief in the power of medicines. And those two things are going to influence how that patient responds to drugs.
Sure.
And even how that patient behaves in the trial, maybe how likely they are to take their medications versus not. And those are the kinds of things we are trying to better understand, use it by incorporating an understanding of patient's personality, motivations, beliefs, and expectations into the clinical data analysis.
And that sounds fascinating to me. I mean, obviously, you've got to take that into consideration. And yet, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, that's not a part, generally, of clinical
Absolutely.
Trials that can take many years, of course, unless you're a coronavirus vaccine, which can take only months. But the point is, those I can understand are some important factors. When we hear mm-hmm. about all kinds of clinical trials, drug tests, various things, we also hear mm-hmm. typically about placebos given to some yeah. in the group, because you've got to have
Absolutely.
Some variables. So how does the placebo response, how is that affected by what you guys do, and why is it, mm-hmm. for that matter, even an issue in drug development?
Absolutely. That's a great question. You know, the gold standard of randomized controlled trials is comparing the response of the patients that receive drug to the response of the patients that receive placebo. And the reason this is the gold standard is because the placebo response is a very real and significant issue. So what the placebo response is, it's an improvement, a clinical improvement, an improvement of symptoms or disease in patients receiving only an ineffective or sham treatment, or that placebo or sugar pill.
Mm-hmm.
And when those patients have an improvement, it can muddy the waters in understanding whether the drug actually works. It's critically important to make sure that when a drug reaches patients, that it has benefit above and beyond the placebo response. And when there's a strong placebo response in the study, it muddies the waters, it creates noise in the data, and that makes it much more difficult to distinguish the real efficacy of the drug from just the response to placebo.
And frankly, my thought is that the pharmaceutical companies can't be too thrilled. Not that I'm concerned for them. They make enough billions of dollars. But the fact is that they've got to be concerned, because if they're getting better and, wait, these people are on the placebo, they're not even taking our drug, then that's got to make them sort of panic. And I don't know that this would be the case, but maybe try to not produce as many results that way, or cover up some of those results, or say, well, that's skewed weird. I like how you called it, you know, a sham product, because, you know, mm-hmm. I know you don't mean that in a negative way. It's a sham in the sense that it's not part of the drug. We just want
Absolutely.
To see how other people react to the same period of time and stuff. So it can get very confusing. So I'm thinking
Absolutely.
AI can play a role here that has never been played before.
Yeah, it really can. And the reality of the situation is that most drugs that enter clinical development never make it to patients.
Oh.
Only about 10 to 20% of drugs that enter phase one development become approved in the end. And about half the drugs that enter late stage clinical development fail because they're unable to demonstrate efficacy. So that can come from one of two things. Either the drug doesn't work, which is unlikely at that late stage of the game,
yeah.
after a decade, maybe in many cases of research, or it may be because it's too difficult to show that it works because of this placebo response. So the end result is there are many potentially very good drugs that are abandoned because of this issue. And again, that prevents them from reaching the patients that really need them. So, you know, really our focus is, and that's why the word patient is in the name. Our focus as a company is helping drugs reach the patients that are waiting for efficacious therapies. So yes, and we use AI to understand the psychological data and then integrate that into the clinical data analysis.
Gotcha. So I'm assuming then that's how Tools for Patient does its job. We're chatting with Erica Smith, the Vice President of Business Development for a company called Tools for Patient. I'm Dave Graveline. Stay tuned. There's much more to learn. This is fascinating as Into Tomorrow continues.